today. This is David Rutledge. Welcome to the Earshot podcast and another in our summer series of highlight programs from 2015. We are about to head out across the plains of Texas with program makers Sherry DeLeese and Hal Cannon. They took a Texas road trip last year. There's an enviable radio gig for you. And they were recording the sounds of the people who live close to the land, the cowboys and ranch women, the singers and poets and storytellers. But they didn't stop there. They also recorded the sounds of the landscape. And over that 1,800-mile journey, they began to discover an awareness to the senses that perhaps gets lost to the rest of us who live in a noisier world. Let's get walking.
Do you notice where we are?
Well, we're looking at a big white church with a... What would you call that?
A bell.
So we're in a what I suppose my family would call a wide patch in the road. A little town.
It's a little town. We just went in the general store and... What stopped me here was a sign that said, pray for rain.
This is Talk at 10. I'm Travis Bubenik. I'll be your host for the next half hour of the program. We're joined by a couple people. One of them is Mr. Hal Cannon. Hal, how are you doing?
Good.
We're also joined by Sherry DeLeese. And how are you doing, Sherry?
I'm fine.
Now, you're working on a radio documentary in Texas right now. And you've been traveling through the region collecting the voices of cowboys, is that right?
Voices and sounds of the life, and it's about the environment the cowboys work and live in and how that is reflected in their music and their poetry, their talk and their silence.
Did you come into this with a particular narrative in mind, or has this sort of just been a process of going out and collecting sound and seeing what comes from the landscape you're working with?
The main thing we want to do is listen and really hear, you know, what the sounds are, how people are integrated into the landscape here and how that's reflected in the poetry and the song.
You know, the world is changing really quickly. And so no matter what you know about, you constantly have to revisit it to find out if it's still real and true.
Do horses know the difference between girls and men?
My horse gets a lot of satisfaction out of having a legitimate job to do. A horse that gets too old without having a legitimate job gets a lot like people that have an easy life without having to work for what they get.
I mean, what does man get from horse?
That's something that's really hard to put words to. But whenever you're riding a good horse, it just gives you a feeling of maybe not superiority, but it puts you on another plateau and you feel like you're maybe elevated a little beyond the ordinary. Close to 30 years ago, I started memorizing poetry of Banjo Patterson's, and then a little later, when I became acquainted with Will Ogilvy, I memorized a number of his pieces. And out of Will Ogilvy's book, Saddle for a Throne, I regularly recite a couple of his pieces, probably written in the, around 1900, I'll say. I have ridden the boundary wires with you. I have sweated in yard and shed. I have lighted the red campfires with you in the dust of a thousand head. through the West and the wanton ways of her, you were always my comrades true. And from out of the nights and days of her, I have woven these songs for you. My song is of the horseman, steel wrist and iron thigh, in whatsoever saddle beneath whatever sky, who breaks the road for empire, who leads the hope forlorn, who rides with whip and knee pad, who rides with rope and horn. If you notice, there's references in there. Who rides with whip and knee pad, who rides with rope and horn. It's referring to the Australian ringer or drover as compared to the North American cowboy who rides with a rope on his saddle horn. My song is of all horsemen, the centaurs of all time who stole for us the freedom of the colts of every clime, who wore the spurs of mastery and held the reins of pride and left the world a heritage of sons to rule and ride.
Yeah, this is Velvet, and she's a 5-year-old Mustang. She came from Wyoming, actually. She was wild. See, it's okay. Not gonna hurt you. Come here, girl. Yeah, girl. You ready to go for a ride? Oh. Oh, Velvet. What? Yeah, there you go. Relax. She's still sort of young and was very wild a few years ago. That a girl. See, she's licking, chewing, that's a good sign. Kind of relaxing. That a girl. Yeah, I do that a lot. It seems to calm her down. Like whenever she is kind of calming down and she'll kind of drop her head and do that. So I started doing that to kind of get her to calm down, I guess. You know that's bad manners. Thank you. Let's get the jitters out of you. Yeah. That's a good girl. Before I ever sang on stage, this is where I sang all the time. I was on horseback. I practiced everything on my horses. She sings as they ride, and her horse breathes a sigh, 'cause there's no place that they feel more free. As they glide to a lope, the wind whistles a note to add to their song's harmony. 'Cause the Mustang waltz plays through their lives every day. It's a dance in their very own way. For there never was a horse so loved as the Mustang that I'm speaking of. No, there never was a horse so loved as the Mustang that I'm speaking of. Ain't that right, Velvet?
This is KRTS, Marfa Public Radio. Marfa Public Radio brings in-depth news and music programming to listeners in far west Texas.
So before you head back to Sydney, tell me about the scope of this project. You've already visited some people in Alpine, got some sounds there. You mentioned collecting the voices of cowboys.
We started in Austin, and then we headed off and found ourselves in Alpine. We talked to Joel Nelson yesterday, who recited from memory a famous Australian bush balladeer.
And then Kristen Harris, a young woman, great swing singer and guitar player,
You mentioned that tomorrow you're going to go get some windmill sounds.
Well, we're driving now. After we finish here, we'll just hightail it north. 8-hour drive.
Yeah, I can't wait to climb up on the windmill and get the sounds of the windmill. This is really all about people being inspired by landscape to create song.
Test. Okay, we're world famous, grown here, Cayonosa, Texas. Cayonosa.
We said more words about this country than we possibly could.
How would our views change? What judgments would we make if we saw every place as home?
We seem to be at a place called Cayonosa.
Cayonosa, Texas, and it's sort of just I don't think people are slowing down. They're going very fast by on this little highway, and it's just vast plains in every direction.
That faded sign says world famous grown here, but the whatever the what? World famous item was, it's faded from history.
We're now north near a place called Midland, Odessa, and we're in a place where there's lots of oil wells out in this plain pumping up and down, and there's these green circular swaths where they're pumping water from way down in the aquifer to water some kind of crop. And it just seems like the most invasive, sad place I've ever been. And I don't know why. I've been here a few times and I don't know the place, but every time I come here it just looks like this place has been invaded.
I've never thought of it as sad, but I guess I had family who lived near here. Uncle Ben was working in the oil fields at time, hard labor, outdoor work, and I always thought of it as a kind of romantic, you know, desolate and dry. Yes, they lived in tract housing out here in the plains, but romantic working lives.
Wow, that's good. I need a little bit of that in my view. So do you mind if we just record here?
Robert, owner of the store, he's worked here since he was 10 years old. It's quiet out here, which can be a good thing.
So we're in front of a general store, an old, very old style general store with just rows laden with every kind of product possible for a place where you've got a long way to go to shop anywhere else.
It reminds me straight out of something for No Country for Old Men, which, of course, was shot very close to here, as was There Will Be Blood. A lot of people might have seen these films and get an immediate visual image. And, of course, Giant, the famous film with Rock Hudson and Elizabeth Taylor and James Dean, was shot near Marfa, where we've driven from this morning. So this landscape has been much mythologized over time.
Right, I'm getting it. When I came here last time, it was windy and blowing like it was, but very cold, and I got waylaid at the airport in Midland, Odessa, and I waited around for many hours and wrote a song from the perspective of looking down on this country. Iron mosquitoes cover this land, sipping black blood far under the sand. Over and over they bow down to drink. They're down to the dredges in some blind demand. High on the wind o'er the plains of Odessa, the blue high above and the brown earth below, flying back home to my dear Teresa. The blue high above, the brown earth above. The back of this land is crisscrossed.
Talkin' Tin here on Marfa Public Radio. We'll be back in just a few minutes. I'm Travis Bubinik, joined in the studio by radio producers Al Cannon and Sherry Deleese. We'll be right back.
Okay, we're on North 1776.
1776, yeah. We're on our way to Channing, Texas, to Dale Burson's ranch to record a windmill, I think.
Well, wind is certainly the topic of the moment.
Yes, it is.
It's really what defines this country in a lot of ways, isn't it?
We can have fairly severe windstorms, and the dirt blowing, I'm sure, at least here, the visibility was about 200 yards. So yeah, I'm sure y'all got a pretty good taste of West Texas wind. I really didn't know whether that you could make it up through the country that you came through. The South Plains is notorious for dirt storm, and I thought you might have to stop and, as we call it, hole up somewhere.
Some windmill sounds. Well, we're driving now, 8-hour drive to the Dale Burson Ranch, and he's written a beautiful song about particular sounds.
Yeah, I can't wait to climb up on the windmill and get the sounds of the windmill.
If we listen closely, can we hear the spirit of a place? I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to record this windmill. I guess I could climb to the top. Get the blades turning. It looks very precarious on that little metal ladder leading right up to the top. And a little tiny makeshift platform up there.
Would I be able to climb up there and record the blades turning?
I wouldn't recommend it. 35 foot or better off the ground.
Yeah, it looks kind of scary. But I'd be game to do it.
You'll have to ask the old man on that one. I don't know.
Let's see. I think I can do it there, maybe. My voice is changing. The dirt kind of has a tendency to mess with your vocal. The sounds that are we talk about in the song are not things that any cowboy that I know takes lightly or doesn't notice. That it may be kind of on a subconscious level, but they know it if it's not there. And it's like windmills, sort of. You know when it's not sounding right. The sounds of the cowboy. I like the rattle of the cattle when they're tripping through the sage. The sound of the whippoorwill calling to his mate. The long, hard silence of the morning when it breaks. The whisper of the child when he kneels at night to pray. The whining of the coyote when the nights are getting cold. The sudden heavy quiet of the new fallen snow. The lowing of the cattle when the frost is on their backs. The end of the day when we've made 1,000 tracks. The sounds of this cowboy's life are dear to my heart. And I would never trade them for the moon and stars. Most precious sound that a cowboy ever hears is the tender voice of Jesus when it's quiet enough to hear.
We've been talking about a project in West Texas in Alpine, gathering the sounds of West Texas, of this landscape.
We're going to be talking to Dale Burson tonight and tomorrow morning in Northwest Texas. Then Andy Wilkinson and Andy Hedges in Lubbock.
What is the story that's starting to unfold in your minds as you're working on this now after you've spoken with people in Alpine and got some of these sounds? I mean, how is this thing taking shape for you?
It's a beautiful question.
Without an answer.
Without an answer.
Is in charge of dominion. What is our responsibility?
Do you, when there's limited grass, do you begrudge the wildlife from Sharon?
No, never, ever worried about what they ate, because my view is this isn't my ranch, and never has been. I'm just a steward of what I got blessed with. My job is to take care of it and leave it to somebody else to take care of. Just do what you're supposed to do and treat it like you're supposed to treat it. In the last 4 years, we've been in this horrible drought, and sure, it's affected our bottom line. And it's taken a lot of people out of business. But most of the people that it's taken out, it's the way they managed it. It's not nature didn't do it to them. They have to be able to adapt to that because you know it's coming. It's cyclical. It's what happens. As far as the climate change aspect of it that everybody seems to be talking about, my view is man cannot destroy what we have. I think God has a plan and his deal works, and we don't know why or how, but long after I'm gone, this place will still be here. It'll still be doing what it's designed to do.
I was at the Quivira Coalition meeting in the fall in Albuquerque, and I heard Darren Doherty from Australia mention that this was the first time in human affairs that we were forced to think in a regrarian, a regenerative mode, that we have run out of places to exhaust. That's all gone, and now we're going to have to refurbish, replenish, and regenerate those things. We artists always lead the way. If there's something that we're doing wrong, it's our job to be writing it. You know, we need to be thinking about writing about what's happening. The biggest single problem we have in this nation today, we're out of water. Where we're not out, we're running out. We're headed for a huge train wreck. We should be doing a lot more about that in our world, in the cowboy culture world.
Ye wonderful orbs that astonish my eyes, your glories recede from my sight. I search, shall contemplate more beautiful skies and stars more resplendently bright.
It's a couple of songs that come from the shape note or the sacred harp tradition, which is a form of sacred gospel music, part of the Primitive Baptist Church that I grew up in. Yeah, I think the song Ye Objects of Sense would probably date back to at least the 1700s, an early Texas poem or Texas song. It's kind of one of the beautiful things about this song, the way it all fits together, is it is describing nature, you know, the objects of sense and enjoyments of time, which oft have delighted my heart. I soon shall exchange you for views more sublime, for joys that shall never depart. To me, it's basically saying that it is singing about the beauty of the natural world and the environment that we live in, but also as beautiful as it is, that it's not going to compare to the glory of God and being in his presence. You know, looking to that this world is not our home and this is not where we're going to be forever, and that these sad things and injustices in the world will someday be made right. For me, that's an idea that resonates with me, and so it's not an ancient or an archaic idea. It's something I find to be true and timeless. That's kind of the way I would think of it when I'm singing it, and you know, find personal expression in the song.
Away here in Texas, a stranger I roam, unknown to all but a few. But I travel in hope of a far better home, where I'll bid my last sad adieu.
And from the bright, sunny state of Texas, you've been listening to What the Cowboy Hears, produced by Sherry DeLeese and Hal Cannon. Check the website for images from that story, and if you like, you could leave us a comment, abc.net.au/rn. The program is Earshot, and you'll find us on the program menu. You'll also find us via the ABC Radio app, and if you haven't become a subscriber to our podcast yet, then you can use that app to get that podcast, and it will give you access to our extensive back catalogue of stories. Some really, really great stuff there. I'm David Rutledge. This has been the Earshot Podcast, and I look forward to your company next time. Bye for now.